Consistency is key. You know, whether we like it or not, some of the best performing salespeople are the ones that have good structure and methodology.
Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast and to our IT series. We've asked all different leaders across the IT industry to come and join us and share with us, where do you think the areas for growth are in the IT industry in 2022? How can sales and marketing contribute? How can you play a high performance game? And all those sorts of big questions so that we can get their pearls of wisdom and nuggets of gold to set ourselves up for 2022. This week, we have the incredible Karen Druitt. She's someone I have known for quite a few years and have the utmost respect for. Karen has been at The Missing Link since 2002 and is now their Chief Operating Officer. Under Karen's leadership, working alongside the team, they have had unbelievable success, winning countless awards, being listed on CRN Top 50, being listed in the Financial Review Fast 100, and so many more. Not only that, Karen also regularly contributes her time. She does mentoring and judging for young ICT Explorers and also the Tech Girls Movement Foundation. So sit back, grab your coffee, and check out what Karen has to say is coming up and going to be big in 2022. Welcome to the Redefining Sales podcast. We are back again on our mini IT series. Today we have Karen Druitt, Chief Operating Officer of The Missing Link. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Super excited to have Karen on. Karen is someone I've known since I was at IBM and have kept in touch with over the years and absolutely admire. So really, really, really excited to have you sharing your thoughts today around growth opportunities in 2022.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump straight in with the big killer question. There's no going soft here. So number one question is, what do you see as some of the growth opportunities for 2022 in the IT industry?
Okay. This is going to sound a little strange to say, but I actually think the realization that remote working is not a temporary thing is certainly still an opportunity. You know, we say this 2 years in, but I honestly think that there are a lot of businesses that have almost paused some of their decision making, waiting for this to go away. And I think now as a society, we're actually understanding it's not going away. We have to work around it. So certainly that. I would be remiss not to talk about security. That is always going to be an area for growth and opportunity for NIT. And I guess more specifically, some of the things that are required now with the introduction of the critical infrastructure bill will obviously have an impact on how certain businesses need to audit and govern their security requirements. And then I think if we're going to talk about a major trend, you know, obviously we are all under pressure in terms of finding and retaining good talent. And so anything we can do around, and this is not just an industry, but again, this is across the board, anything that we can do that improves the life of our employees and how they feel about their job. And so it may be taking away routinized or mundane work through automation, some of the tools and technologies that you can provide your staff, you know, just making it as positive a workplace as possible, I think will be a focus for most businesses.
This came up on one of the mini series the other day with IT around, you know, PwC predicting 40% of the Australian workforce are going to resign this year. And so that's a huge, you know, believe it or not, but, you know, people are, there's a lot of hype around the great resignation and how do you retain your top talent?
Yeah. And look, we are seeing it, you know, there is obviously, again, some of the things that are going on in the world at the moment and, you know, the lack of migration into Australia, we're definitely a country that relies on people coming in to the country to help fill roles. And IT is no different to that. In fact, probably a big subscriber. So, you know, it is going to have an impact, has had an impact on, you know, keeping, you know, basically not only looking for staff, but yeah, you're right, making sure that you retain the good people that you've got. I kind of want to put a positive spin on that though, because obviously sometimes it's the right time for people to leave your business, which is, you know, you need to be pragmatic about that. Their next opportunity might not be within your organization. And so the positive of if we're going to call it the Great Resignation, is that there are other people that are looking for someone like your organization. So it's that almost, you know, one door closes and another one opens.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've talked about a couple different growth opportunities there. You sort of mentioned three or four. How do you see sales and marketing supporting those growth opportunities and helping to make them happen?
It's about being aware of what those trends are. You know, I think it's really important for both sales and marketing to work together to understand. You know, a lot of these are actually education pieces for clients as well. So they're not necessarily fully educated on, you know, let's take the critical infrastructure bill because it's a topical one at the moment. Making sure that clients are educated and then understanding what their priorities are. Both sales and marketing need to help clients do that. So I think it's, you know, a lot of it is awareness and education and making sure that we've got the right messaging out to the market so that, you know, you are providing thought leadership on these areas and you are educating clients so that, you know, when they are ready to make changes or look at what their priorities are, you've been a strategic advisor for them.
Mm. And in order to do that, that brings me to my next question. You know, this is the topic I love talking about. To do that.
Marketing?
Yes, my number one word. I'll pay you later. That's a win. I'm giving that a big tick. But in order to do that, in all seriousness, what you've just described, that involves sales and marketing coming together and playing nicely. You've got a sales team, you've got a marketing team. How do you do that?
Look, it's really important that that ideas do flow both ways. You know, at the end of the day, we've got a fabulous team that are across not only what the conversations are that we're having with clients, but also what's happening in market. And so it's about bringing that together in the right form, but starting off in the right place. You know, it can't be one or the other. It needs to be both because if your messaging is not aligned, if you've got, you might have an amazing marketing team that's creating great messaging, but if it's actually not resonating with the issues that clients are having, then it's probably not going to have the same traction as it would if the sales team are informing that, you know, decision-making process in terms of what message we're taking to market. Equally with the education piece, you know, it is really important that we're actually providing the market with what they want. You know, and that's being close to our clients. You know, that's the expectation from the sales team is they're having conversations, they're understanding the pain points, and they're understanding what the business priorities are for, you know, next 12 to 24 months, as I said, so that, you know, we're placed to be a strategic advisor when they're starting to make those decisions.
Yeah, I love that because it sounds so obvious, but so few people actually do it. And a lot of the time it's led with, we've just launched this product or service, or we've just come to market with us. And it's very us-centric rather than actually around what the client is facing and the client's pain point. So even though it's obvious it on paper, it's harder to do in practice and it's not done as often as it should be. So I really love that answer.
Yeah. And especially when you're talking about new solutions as well, you know, that also involves operations. So it's about making sure that all areas of the business, you know, we have champions, if you like, in different areas of the business that come together to look at, you know, we call it a GTM, you know, and it's what solutions the market is looking for, how we deliver that from an operational perspective. Because again, you know, sales and marketing need to work closely together, but so do delivery and sales, you know. So it is making sure that not only can, you know, we've got the right message in market, we're having the right conversations, but then we're living up to our delivery promise. So yeah, it's making sure that all areas of the business work together.
I love that. I saw some really good research around that the other day around this year being the importance, I say this year, it's every year, but the importance of the collaboration across different departments, because that's the only way we can have that single view of the customer and the 360 view and focus on the customer experience when, you know, we're all one happy family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm going to change tack now and talk about my other passion. I'm just being selfish here, talking about my passions and picking your brain in the process. I think that IT is quite a pressure cooker game. It's quite, you know, it can be sometimes quite stressful. It can sometimes be quite, you know, you've got to hit your number. There's a lot of pressure there. There's pressures to deliver on all fronts for your customer, you know, for vendors, for partners, and so on. And so I think I'm really intrigued by how do you play a high performance game? You've got an amazing sales force that I've always respected. So how do you capture that magic? How do you get your sales force in IT to play a high performance game?
I think it's no one thing. I mean, if it was, it would be easier. I think it's a multitude of factors. So no silver bullet answer here. Sorry. Consistency is key. You know, whether we like it or not, some of the best performing salespeople are the ones that have good structure and methodology to what they're doing. So they're organized, you know, they're able to carve out time to proactively call clients. They've got time set aside to do the proactive things that actually matter. Because unfortunately, if it's a chasing or constant reaction, we're behind the eight ball. There'll be someone else that's calling our clients if we're not. It's just that simple. And so it's working with the clients to understand what that rhythm looks like, but making sure that, you know, we keep in touch, that we're part of their business, that they understand that, you know, we're there to provide support and advice and, as I said, help them with their prioritizing for their technology, and also awareness. You know, it depends on who in the business is tasked with IT, but they could have a lot of other competing priorities. So, you know, it is about us understanding their business and what their requirements are. And as I said, that proactivity is huge. It's not a silver bullet, but it certainly goes a long way to, I think, what I see as high-performing salespeople. The other thing that we should never underestimate is relationships. Mm. You know, part of that obviously is being front of mind, but it's about building relationships. And so it's the empathy that you show. It's not just about you. It is about what they need. And, you know, it might sound contrite or cliched, but it is really important that you are thinking about it from their perspective. For us, and I would imagine for a lot of people in our industry, we're not transactional. No. You know, so we want to retain clients, just like good talent. We want to retain good clients. And in order to do that, it is about building relationships so that they are comfortable dealing with you and they feel that they're in a safe pair of hands. And you are, you know, again, to use probably a cliche term, but you are their trusted advisor.
Yeah, I love that. I always look at it as I would hate to be seen as the best friend that just turns up when they want something. So yeah. How are you the person that always shows up and not just, you know, sales gets a bad name because people think of it as the salesperson just turning up when there's a deal to be had. So I do think that's so important.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be mean now, hard question. We've talked about several different things. We've talked about growth opportunities, how sales and marketing can help, how you can play a high performance game. If there was just one thing that you could do to start driving growth this year or recommend just one thing, what would you lead with?
Hire more salespeople. It's actually not a difficult thing. I mean, and I would imagine a lot of our industry, you know, it does require on the direct sales method. It again comes back to that relationship thing. So finding the right balance of making sure that your account managers are not trying to cover too many clients so that they can actually give the appropriate care and attention to the clients that they are taking care of. And I use that term quite purposefully, that it is taking care of. It's not an ownership thing. It is making sure that they are looked after from the missing link, you know, service delivery, basically, and their experience. So, yeah, hire more salespeople would be my number one answer.
I like that answer. So final question to leave you with, got to pick your brain. You know, I'm a bit of a bookworm. What's your best business book recommendations? I can see books behind you.
Yeah, they're all travel books, so they're a bit redundant now, right? Let's be honest.
Willingly wanting to go overseas.
I'm just kind of leaving them there to, you know, think about the past.
One day, Karen, one day we'll go overseas.
Yeah, one day. I'm a Simon Sinek fangirl, unashamedly. And I was actually fortunate enough to see him speak a few years back. Although probably his most popular book is Start With The Why, which I do love, he was talking about the infinite game. I love that mindset. I love how he explains it. And it kind of did change some of my thought processes. You know, we talk very obviously at times about winning and losing, and his ideas behind this infinite game is it's not about winning and losing. You need to drop that language. You know, it's I found it a really inspiring session. As I said, unashamedly a fangirl.
That's the second person that has said Simon Sinek. So
there you go.
Simon Sinek, you need to come and speak to the IT industry.
he's very impressive.
Well, thank you so much for that quick fire round and so many pearls of wisdom. As always, Karen, absolutely love, love, love talking to you and getting lots of great insights from you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, before you leave us, if you would like to download our latest white paper on the state of sales and marketing, which unpacks 4 steps to drive hyper growth in your business, please visit whitepaper.salesredefined.com.au. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you subscribe so that you never miss a future episode. And finally, we would absolutely love it and appreciate it if you could leave us a review and maybe even share with a friend. We'll see you next time.